Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host of Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. We have a special guest on with us today, whom I am going to introduce you to, and also his advocate in a few minutes. But I'd like to talk about the reason for this show, and it's about bringing the injustices to everyone's attention so that we can come together in unity around the country and start making positive changes. As I've been saying, in the month of June 2023, we are going to be holding a national event, and that is going to include writing letters, making phone calls, sending emails, going to the media to get them to start going into the prisons and start getting the stories from the incarcerated individuals. We have to do something about it because this country is falling apart, and mass incarceration in the United States is getting to be out of control. The U.S. is the only country in the entire world that has mass incarceration and has life without parole sentencing, unless it's extreme. And we have to look at the human rights violations as well. But our guest today, Greg Curry, and his prisoner advocate, Samantha, will talk about the injustices Greg was subjected to and has had to endure since his wrongful conviction sentence, stemming from the Lucasville riot in Ohio in 1993. So without further ado, we are going to be welcoming Greg Curry. Greg, are you on with us?
Yes, I am, and thanks for having me this morning, Leona.
I want to thank you so much for coming on. This is what we need to bring awareness of, because the injustice that you have gone through, I'm sure many others will be very much appreciated and very much needed to be brought to attention. So if you can, Greg, if you can introduce yourself to the audience and let them know a little bit about what happened and why you're incarcerated to this day.
So my name is Greg Curry, as you mentioned. In 1993, I was serving time at a prison called Southern Ohio Correctional Facility. That's in Southern Ohio. We call it Lucasville. That's what it's known as. Disturbance happened in the prison. It's said to have been an incident between the Muslims and their religious faith and the warden, who was trying to impose his will on their religious faith as they understood it. And I was neither a Muslim or any kind of political anything at that point in my life. I just happened to be working in the gymnasium as a recreational aide at the time that some events happened, and you saw a lot of people running in all kind of directions, and it was just madness. And later we come to find out that it was it turned into a full-blown riot.
This riot, this injustice that was you're mentioning right now, has been bringing many people of color especially together. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that too. What has happened throughout that time that they incarcerated you wrongfully and all of this was going on at the time? The uprising, you know, the overcoming the racism and the Louisville Rebellion. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, so as I said before, that this prison was in Southern Ohio, and the dominant force there was the racial attitudes of the white males that worked in the prison, and it's pretty much a family-ran operation, so you had generations of families and cousins all inside of that prison, and so whatever affected one affected them all. And they dominated the black prisoners, and they used their select prisoners with racial identification issues as their personal army to impose their will on the majority of black prisoners there, and pretty much with no recourse for their actions. It was just understood if you got on the wrong side of the cops that something was going to happen to you there. And once the riot happened, excuse me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. And so once the riot happened, forces, you know, were put in a situation where they had to bond and build. I think a lot has been made about the unification of races during that period of time. You know, I guess when people are dependent on each other for certain things and they have no other choice, then it's that simple. They have no other choice. I'm not sure that race relations was improved any at all by that situation. Maybe right thereafter, when we all ended up fighting for our lives because certain people were lying and taking deals to point the finger in different directions, and so we all had a common interest at trying to stay safe and clear of charges. But shortly thereafter, things went back to normal. If you had racial identification issues, then I believe it went back to that. And if you were just whoever you were before, then it pretty much settled back into that behavior.
I remember years ago, I don't know if you're familiar with Hakeem Ali, Hakeem Shaheed, but he was in a prison in I think it was Marietta or one of those prisons in Ohio where he was severely abused while incarcerated. I believe he won quite a bit when he came out. But can you talk about the conditions when you first went in and the conditions today?
Well, so when I first came to prison, it was 1989, and I went to the higher level security prisons, and eventually Lucasville in 1990, which at that time was the highest security level in Ohio. It's where the death chair is housed, where they execute people at. And speaking of execution, you know, I have friends that's from the riot that are on death row, and one of their execution dates is set for later this year, November, Bomani Lamar. And so I just want to keep that in mind and in people's minds and hearts that he does have an execution date coming up, as well as the other ones eventually, but November of 2023 is Lamar's. But as far as the prison conditions go, there was none of these. All these cameras that you see in modern-day prisons wasn't there. People pretty much was left to settle differences the way they felt a need to settle them, and that usually was with violence. And the good thing about that is when you know everybody will settle their issues violently, you have less BS going on. People are more considerate of the fact that something violent can happen to them for foolishness. And so I believe you had less foolishness than you do today. You have more gangs today, but you have less organized structure that fights against the system or against abuses of the system. And I think that's the downfall of the organized formations today. But back in the early 80s, mid-80s, late 80s, it was more structure and more people opposed to the abuses of the system, however they, in whatever form they came in. So those are the major differences that I see from then to now.
Some of the things that we're looking at working on in June, the whole month of June, is first of all, I know that there was a time when it was mentioned that administration was blocking the press from going into the prisons and speaking with the prisoners. And this is one of the things that we're going to be focusing on as well. In the month of June, we're going to be focusing on the media and trying to challenge the media to stop going into the prisons, the facilities across the country, and meeting with the incarcerated individuals. Also, we're going to be focusing on with Mike Farrell, who is the founder of the Death Penalty Focus, and they're working on abolishing the death penalty, which is another issue we're going to be discussing. We're going to be challenging our legislative members and others to work on, because it doesn't even make sense that we have a government that will murder someone who has committed a fatality. It's giving mixed messages, because it's okay for a government to do it because of their power, but yet it's something that they're killing someone else. It doesn't make sense. That's another issue we're going to be focusing on.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Real quickly, we're also going to be focusing on ending life and life without parole sentencing, because we are the only country, as I say, in the world that has such a sentence. And we're going to be focusing on having prisoners' rights restored to them. There's no reason why prisoners should lose their rights to vote. Now, I know that you have a short time, and I'm hoping you'll be able to come back on for another 15 minutes. If not, Samantha, you can probably...
I'll be calling you right back. I'll call right back in.
Okay, thank you so much, Greg. I really appreciate this. And I know it's time that you're limited with, so hopefully you'll be able to speak more when you get back. But audience, these are some of the things that we need to look at. We need to look at the media getting in there. We need to look at our legislative members. Families Against Mandatory Minimums are encouraging everyone to contact your legislative members and have your legislative members start going into the prisons more often. In Massachusetts, we have a few that do go in, but we don't have enough. And we have to look at the DOC, Department of Corrections, around the country. We have to look at no oversight in these prisons, no independent oversight. So these are other issues that we want to focus on, is getting our legislative members into the prisons to meet with these prisoners, and also getting the media in there. Also having oversight of the DOC itself in every state. We know that every state operates differently under state prison, but we also know the problems are all the same. So we want to encourage all of you to please join us for the month of June. We are gathering right now. We have been compiling a listing of the names and addresses, telephone numbers and the emails of the media, of legislative members, of governors, of others throughout the country, so that we can encourage them to do more. There's many working on criminal justice reform. However, if they don't go into the prisons and they don't meet with these incarcerated individuals and groups to find out exactly what some of these issues are, how can they advocate for criminal justice reform? We need to look at some of these things, because these are major issues. I also want to bring up the fact, as his advocate was just mentioning, that in Lucasville, they were only allowed a call home once a year. I'm just reading on some of these details. He will be calling back in, so he will be able to talk about some of this when he calls back. But audience, this is an interesting case. And the reason I say it's interesting is because this is a case that not all incarcerated individuals have been able to call in and talk about. So he is speaking out. He is speaking out basically for all incarcerated individuals who have been going through the same thing. This riot that took place in 1993 would not have taken place if there were not reasons. But at the same time, wrongful convictions are not necessary either. Too many times people look at one-sided stories or listen to one-sided stories. I want everyone to know there's always two sides and sometimes three sides to every story. So let's get back to our interview with Greg Curry and his advocate. Samantha, are you on with us?
I'm here, yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay, is Greg back?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Greg, I'm going to let you go on again. There was mentioned by Samantha that I don't know if that's changed, where you were only allowed to make one phone call a year.
Well, so back in pre-93, yes, there was no phone in Lucasville prison. So at Christmas, they offered everyone in there, and we're talking maybe 3,000 people, a five-minute phone call, and they would set up a phone bank in this small office, and everybody would be in there elbow to elbow. It might be 15, 20 people in the room at that time, all with that five-minute call, shouting over each other, trying to hear their families and everything. So most people opted out of that phone call, and so that was our one opportunity to call home. This was before the JPay companies and all of those type of tech services available to today's prisoners. Yes, it was like that. And the riot happened. One of the points coming out of the riot was that they include phone calls, a regular phone service to people down there, because Southern Ohio is so far away from where the majority of the prisoners grew up and lived, and their families had to travel to visit from.
You know, I know you only have a short time. I want to say, Greg, I want to say one thing. I'm not going to say anything from here on in. I'd like you to spend your time that you have with us on the line right now talking about what you want to get out there. And also, if anyone wants to help in any way at all, give them the information how they can contact you, get in contact with you, or help in any way at all. So right now, the floor is yours. Okay. Thank you so much for being on with us.
All right. Appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, so I like to your point about advocating for end to the death penalty. I am so encouraged to hear you mention that you're also will be fighting against life without parole, or these really, really lengthy prison terms that in the end are a death sentence, just the same, just by a different name. And that's the situation I'm in, and many other people are in. In fact, more people are in that situation than on death row. And we unfortunately don't have a right to an attorney throughout the process of this slow death, as does the people on death row. Not that I would choose to be on death row versus my current situation, but I think it's a false choice to have to pick one or the other. So I'm glad that you would be advocating against that, and I would encourage people when they say they're against the death penalty to keep in mind that there's more than one way to kill a person legally, and lengthy prison term does just that. So they should speak up on those just all the same. And so during this prison riot, people were provided an opportunity to blame others for crimes that they may have committed, or just take the opportunity to settle scores with people they don't like, or even just take advantage of the situation and help the prosecution, who had created the narrative about what the riot was all about. And so they created leaders that needed to be punished, and then they created followers of those leaders who also had to be punished. And they tied it up in a nice little package, and they went around the state and offered people deals to read into the record the narrative that was created by these special prosecutors and judges and attorneys that they picked out to represent people that are accused. They even passed out a memo saying, hey, if you want to represent these guys, you need to be getting them to plead to these charges, or we don't need your services. So it was a heck of a political arm twisting going on by the state and their special prosecutor team, and they were given the green light to do pretty much anything. One of the people who took advantage of that opportunity was a guy named Lewis Jones, a prisoner who was in jail for a manslaughter charge. And he had a 8 to 25-year sentence for killing that person. And he decided to say he was a member of a death squad during this prison riot, and he just was going around from door to door, according to him, and killing people with a group of people, prisoners, just killing people. And somehow he never was indicted for it, and somehow he received an early release. He got out in 6 years on an 8-year sentence with no charges for the involvement that he says he has had in the prison riot. And I'm one of his victims. He received a deal. The prosecutors knew he received a deal. And people on my jury asked the judge, did these guys, these prisoners you're bringing in to testify, did they receive a deal? The jury member said they would like to know so that they could properly weigh how much to believe them for being rewarded for their testimony. My judge said, no, no one received a deal here, because if they did, by law, I would have to tell you. So my jury said, okay. So when this guy, Lewis Jones Jr., got on the witness stand and said he didn't receive a deal, the judge, who was supposed to be the neutral party in this courtroom, had already sanctioned what this guy was, the lie that this guy was about to tell. He had already cleared the way, saying nobody received a deal here. So when Lewis Jones stood on that stand and said, I know I have received no deal, no promises, and the prosecutor said the same, I've given no deal and made no promises to anyone. And yet, as soon as my trial was over, the same prosecutors admitted on direct appeal that they indeed had given Lewis Jones a deal. But now it was too late for my life, because they had already convicted me and the jury was already gone home. But yet they knew that all trial long they sat there and lied to the jury and lied to the court. And here we are coming up on 30 years later in April, and there's been no repercussions for the behavior of Lewis Jones, that special judge, or the two prosecutors. In fact, one of the prosecutors has become a judge right after the riot. So he was rewarded for lying and taking a life the way he did. And there's no repercussion. You're hearing a lot about qualified immunity in the news today, a lot about the police officers in the streets that's killing citizens. And you hear them saying, well, they had qualified immunity. And so it's the same with the prosecutors. They were allowed to take my life, affect my whole family, my kids, you know, my parents. Everything that could have happened over the past 30 years for me in a positive way was affected by the behaviors of two prosecutors, a judge, and Lewis Jones, the prisoner, and their lies. And there's no repercussions. And so today, me and my team are trying hard to uncover this deal that was given to Lewis Jones. We know that he received it now, but we don't know the details of it. And so we're trying our best to do that. We're raising funds on, you can look on Instagram at xslimxskateyx. That's Instagram account of the person that's running that. And you could go to Cash App Freedom, the number 4, Greg, and donate to this effort. And none of the money is for commissary or any other foolishness. It's strictly for investigators and attorneys. That's it, and that's all for that money. And we can show you the paper trail for it or whatever you want. We will not misuse your money. But we do need it to uncover this foolishness. And as I said, April 11th will be 30 years that we've been dealing with this. I've been dealing with this day in and day out. And I've, all of the feedback and blowback from the system over these past 30 years that I've had to deal with, I've wrote a zine called Repression Breeds Resistance. And you can find that online, maybe at Facebook, gregcurry.org. You can find that and read about some of the abuses that I've had to deal with over this past 30 years, all of the solitary confinement, just all of the horrendous abuses that you can imagine that happen in the prison, but perhaps you would like to ignore because some people do feel it's a need for a prison. I happen to disagree, but that's okay. Even if you believe that prison should exist for certain people, there should still be a standard in those prisons. And I'm here to tell you that there hasn't been. And many people that have read my story and studied it, you know, don't take my word for it, but study the facts. And you will find that you'll come to me and ask, how did you survive that? How have you been dealing with that kind of abuse and still normal? That's a question I get asked a lot because no one can see themselves in that situation. It is hard to believe the things that is done behind these walls. But with shows like this, there's an opportunity for people to make themselves aware of what's going on in the criminal justice system.
You have 1 minute remaining.
And what's convicted inside of these prisons.
Greg, I want to thank you. And again, I don't know if you'll have an opportunity to call back, but if not, we're always here for you. I just want the audience to know Greg was four other men who was scapegoated and condemned to death because of this, and none of them had killed anyone. And that is Bomani Shakur, Keith Lamar, Jason Robb, Sadiq Hassan, and Greg himself. These are the Lucasville scapegoats, and so they really do need our help. Greg, they said you only have a minute left. I don't know if you'll be coming back on again. If you could come on one more time. One more time, that will be great. But again, if not, we always have an opening for you whenever you can come on.
I appreciate the love that you're sending to me and the opportunity that you're providing.
Thank you for using GTL.
You know, I think it's really crazy that they first of all, the incarcerated having to pay to come to call in is ridiculous. I didn't get a chance to ask Greg, but I was going to ask him why his sentence was commuted to life without parole because of the initial death penalty case. But this is another thing. I think they need to look at abolishing death penalties completely and life without parole, because as he mentioned, life without parole is the same as the death penalty. It gives them no hope, no reason to go on. And that's why we have such a high rate of suicide in the United States of America, in the prisons in the United States of America. We have some states who do not have or are doing away with solitary confinement, while other states have it. We have some states that do not take away the rights of prisoners to vote, while others do. We have to look at a lot of these things. We have to look at the corruption in the courts. We have to look at the prosecutors. We have to look at the lawyers. We have to look at the judges who come together, whether transparent or whether deceptively, deceitfully. We have people in the courts who work together to try to portray a defendant to the worst, to look as though they were the worst of all. And we have to look at these things because prosecutors, judges, lawyers, they're putting these people to death. They're putting these people to death by putting them in prison for parole, by putting them on death row. What is the purpose? So that they can win? Or just mainly because they want to put someone away because they don't like the color, or they don't like the religion, or they don't like the individual, or they're connected to the victim's family? Because that's happened as well. We have more corruption in the courts than in the prisons with these prisoners. We have more corruption in the overseers of these incarcerated individuals than the incarcerated individuals themselves. So coming in the month of June 2023, there will be an effort to do away with a lot of these injustices. There will be an effort to do away with the life and life without parole. There will be an effort to do away with the death penalty. We can think with other countries, and they're not out to destroy their incarcerated individuals, but out to help them. The United States needs to get in sync with these countries who are more humane. The recidivism rate is not as high as it is in the United States, if at all. We have to look at all of these things. And audience, you can listen, and you can take something back with you. You can take something back that's going to help a lot of the incarcerated individuals who are serving time in prison for no reason, no logical reason at all. Life and life without parole has to go. Death penalty has to go. Oversight of these prison officials needs to be put in place. Get rid of these contracted medical providers and start bringing in experienced and qualified doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists for these prisoners, because the contracted providers are not doing anything more than following suit with the Department of Corrections prison officials. So please, in June, do away with life and life without. Do away with the death penalty. Restore the rights of prisoners to vote. Bring in independent providers from the outside, Department of Mental Health as well, American Psychological Association. We need to stop all of this. Encourage and challenge our incarcerated, our legislative members to go into the prisons and meet with these people. You cannot fight for criminal justice reform if you're not going in and talking directly to the incarcerated individuals. Give them a voice. We're back on again. Samantha, is Greg on with us again?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Greg, back to you. Please finish what you were saying prior to being cut off. And that's another thing they're talking about is making it possible for prisoners to be able to call, people incarcerated to be able to call and not be charged. So hopefully that's going to be going through the country. I just received something on it in the email yesterday as well as last week. So it seems to be an issue that's not going away too soon. So, Greg, if you can finish talking about what you were talking about prior to being cut off by your global tell.
So I did want to clarify a few things. I may have been talking too fast when I spoke about the abuses over the years. So I want to make it clear that in 93, after the riot was over, everyone that they assumed to be involved was locked up 23 hours a day, all week long, and on the weekends, 24 hours a day. And we remained that way while we waited on a supermax prison to be built. And so that is when I got into it with a lot of the cops during that process, where they were retaliating for what they felt was my involvement in the riot. And so they had to feed me. They had to cuff me up and walk me to the shower or the rat cages. And oftentimes they just refused to do all three. That's feeding, shower, and rec. They just refused to do it just because they had the power to do it. And so I've been on many a forced hunger strike where I just wasn't allowed to eat. I've been in cells where there was no ventilation in the middle of summertime, and they just, even the cops was curious as to why I hadn't died, because that's what they did. They left me in a sweat box cell, and sweat box is a cell with four metal walls and no ventilation in there in the middle of the summertime. And any of you watch Django, the movie Django, when the actress Kerry Washington played the runaway slave, and when they caught her, they put her in this box, a metal box, out in the hot sun and allowed her to stay in there and suffer. That's the kind of cell this is that I was in, and I suffered. So when the Supermax was opened in 1998, which is 5 years after being on lockdown, we were moved to this brand new Supermax prison, and there was no rules there at that time. So whatever the cops said and did was the rule. And so we suffered through those abuses. And at some point in the early 2000s, they allowed people to come out, two people at a time on the range, with each other for congregate rec, they called it, except I wasn't allowed to. I remained a single rec, no contact with humans, for the next 14 years straight. Nonstop, no contact with anyone, under no
condition. Are you serious? 4 years with no contact with anyone?
Yes. 14 years without contact with anyone.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I'm absolutely serious. And so then when I was to make the level that was getting me, moving me to a population, the administration at the Supermax said to me, well, you haven't been out with anyone in all of these years, so we can't just let you out with a bunch of people. And I said, well, whose fault is it that I haven't been out with anyone? You know, y'all supposed to do that. So they made me do another year that way, and then they allowed me out with four people at a time for the next few years. So, yes, from the time, and I just left the Supermax prison 4 years ago to come to this prison where I'm at now, which is a step down from that prison. And every time they get a chance, they put me back in lockup. So I've been here 4 years, and I've been in lockup here 2.5 of that 4 years. So it's a constant struggle of walking on eggshells, one that I've gotten used to, and maybe that's my fault for getting used to having to walk on eggshells and getting used to being treated different than all of the other prisons, including the guys on death row. Because while I was at the Supermax prison, I was being treated like I was on death row, even though I wasn't. But I was being treated as if I was on death row for all of the punitive measures. But for the rewards for being punished, I was not allowed part of that. So when they got extra commissary, or extra visits, or extra time at rec, I didn't receive that, but I received all other punitive measures that they received during this whole course of time, over 25 years of that. And so now I'm fast forwarding to here today, and when you talk about bringing reporters and requesting reporters to come into the prison, that's not enough. When the reporters come into the prison, don't sightsee. Go ask for to speak to the people who have been in lockup the longest, whether that's in Ohio, it's called 4B or long-term or solitary confinement. Go talk to those guys and see what's going on. Why are they there? Why are they continuously there? That's the thing that reporters must do. They must, investigative reporters is what's required, not sightseeing reporters.
And I also encourage them to go in randomly and unannounced, because when people are going into the prisons, I want to let everyone know, this has been something that's been ongoing for years. When they're notified that someone from the outside influential media or legislative member are going into the prisons. They clean up. Everything is in ship-shape condition.
Yes, they do.
You want to go in unannounced. You don't want them to know you're coming in.
And the other thing is you want the prisoners that ideally you're trying to aid and assist to be a comrade of yours and not work against you. So I said that to say when reporters want to come in and do inspections and talk to people, the prisoners have no business cleaning up for the administration, making it look pretty, shining it up, making it smell good. Let the prison be the way it is daily so when people come in, they can see what we're actually dealing with. Yesterday, someone just so happened to be in a fight, and the cops sprayed mace on them, but everybody was affected by the mace for the next 6 hours, coughing and choking. And remember, we're living in COVID time, and all of us coughing and choking out into the air in this enclosed environment that we all are breathing in. And that could not have been well for us as far as our health goes. But that's the kind of stuff we deal with, and today the mace is gone and everything, so everybody's back to normal. But prison is the outside world and showing what these places are really about. Even when you talk about bringing reporters in, I have fought with and filed the lawsuit to allow media access, especially to us from the riot. Me and the guys on death row, we fought that lawsuit. So we opened the door. We are participating actively in trying to shine a light on what goes on in here for the people on the outside. But we have to also help each other get free. And it's not enough for that. The prisoners themselves, if people on the street are spending their time and energy to, just as you is with this show, if you're willing to help shine light on this situation, you're an advocate of ours. We appreciate that. But I hope that you require something from the people on the inside. That is cooperation with each other, whether that be co-defendants, or whether that be adversary gangs. Help each other in a common cause, and then people on the street can better help us all. And that's not asking too much from the people on the outside to require something from us on the inside. I'll sign up for it every single time. And one other group I wanted to, before we lose track of time, is Detroit ABC. They just this week, they made a big donation to trying to help me get this investigator paid off. And so I just want to say, Detroit ABC, y'all have been there for me. This ain't the first time, and I appreciate y'all. And I really appreciate y'all looking into my story and seeing that it was the truth and it was real before you put your money and your energy into me, that you looked and seen that I was telling the truth and that I was worthy, and I hope I continue to be worthy of y'all's time.
You have 1 minute remaining.
And my dear friend Samantha, for sure, you know I love you.
Love you too. Yeah.
Greg, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Did you hear me?
You fell off for a minute there. I don't know what happened.
At what point?
You were talking about the people that have donated, that the organization that helped, and you said something about you're using it. The money is for a cause, not for a canteen, whatever. But if you can finish off where you were talking, because we got cut off somehow, your sound just went.
Thank you for using GTL.
We will call back, Leona.
Okay. I'm sorry that he has to call back so much. It's a shame that these phones, this is this is another thing we're going to be discussing in the month of June, the phone calls, because a lot of times prisoners are either cut off or they're on, they're talking, and they're not heard, and the phone calls only last like 50 minutes. And to me, this is an issue that needs to be addressed as well. If they're not going to do away with the cost of phone calls for the prisoners and families, then we need to do something about at least allowing them to have more time on less money. But audience, you're listening to a lot at one time, and these are issues that really, really need to be discussed. We really need to have you come on the show as well. If you have concerns, if you have loved ones inside, even if you're advocating, as Samantha is doing, if you're advocating for the incarcerated, come on the show. Talk about some ways that we can use in solidarity to do something about all of this injustice.
Hello. This is a prepaid debit call from... Your call was not accepted. Please try again later.
What happened?
I don't know. Hold on 1 second, please.
You there?
Yes.
Hold on 1 second. Can you figure out how
you're
far
on the
back she
you're
was?
You're on.
Hold on.
Leona, one thing I wanted to add, too, is transparency with the government. It's taken six months to get records from some entities, one being the Ohio State Patrol, just for Greg's case. They don't want the truth out there. And if an advocate finds himself involved in a case or advocating for somebody, they don't give up. Continue. Know your rights.
Is ACLU involved in any of this?
No, and if I had to give an opinion, I would ask people to stop donating to places like that.
I was going to say the same thing.
What they do is come up with a little greeting card and tell you how busy they are chasing these big cases and big splashy cases when it's these little ugly cases that need a lot more attention. I would say ignore them. Places like I just said, Detroit, ABC over there, you know, they on a shoestring budget figured out how to help, how to put money in the worthy cause, and I'll ever be appreciative of a group like that. The ABCs all over the country.
ACLU has been a letdown for a lot of people, and I'm not too fond of ACLU because there were three prisoners that committed suicide in Pennsylvania in 2007 and 2008. I went out there with my organization. We went on at Smithfield, SCI Smithfield Prison in Pennsylvania. And I contacted ACLU before each one died and after each one died. And they couldn't do anything because, as you say, they didn't have the manpower or they didn't have the funds. I am sick of these organizations that claim they don't have the funds and they don't have the manpower. But yet they will pick and choose. And a lot of them pick and choose the ones that are going to benefit them, the ones that have connections. This is frustrating. It really is. But I was wondering, that's why I asked if they were involved, because ACLU should have been involved in a case like yours and the others that...
Yeah, right, with the racial overtones and everything. From the very, and not just them. The NAACP says they have a legal defense fund for legal cases, and they're the same. You know, they raise money, and they're solid. And when we were in the middle of a racially tense situation, as such as Lucasfield was, none of them sent people in to say, let us see these black prisoners that you are accusing. This would be the equivalent of Martin Luther King or Emmett Till going down south and getting into a hostile situation and nobody saying, let us see them. Let us hear them tell us they're okay. And we, you know, let us at least hear them say they're okay. Let us see them. How could that be too much for ACLU or the NAACP?
This is something I've been, and that's why a lot of people don't like me, because I speak my piece. And I'll tell you, ACLU, NAACP, even here in Massachusetts. We have illegal services here in Massachusetts the same way, but everybody seems to think that they're doing something because they're connected. As I say, they will do for somebody that they know is going to get out to someone else who has power, and they are manipulating even our own, I'll tell you. But that's another one. National Action Network used to be something at one time. Now Al Sharpton with his show on CNN News or MSNBC, Nation Politics or whatever, you don't see his organization doing anything for anyone. So this is why we come together and unite ourselves. We as the people, we as the government, the people have to unite to make these changes and get the help that people need that are incarcerated. There's law schools around the country, universities, that have law students with their professors overseeing them, attorneys, that are doing certain things. And you might want to contact, or your advocate might want to contact the university in Ohio, law school, and see if they can help in that way.
Well,
I've
done it. And because of the political nature of this case, once the whole state band together to use all its resources to convict us, the law schools, Cincinnati School of Law is our biggest one. And they get the case, they pass it around, and then they hand it back to you. In fact, at one point they told me, hey, you got some good issues here, but you also got some other time, too, that you got to do. So do some time and then get back with us. That was what they said in the letter. If a law school is going to help, it's not going to be a law school from Ohio. And I may not even be an attorney from Ohio. It's just too, the politics of the issue is just too strong, and the emotions of that issue still run that deep.
Yes, it does. Hence the problems with getting records.
Yeah.
Right. We're having the darnest time trying to get records, and that's why we're raising the funds. We're going to hire these investigators. We're going after the records, and we're trying our hardest to get them, but we're being blocked. And it's funny that when we're supposed to be guilty of something, and yet we're saying shine light on everything. We're not afraid. We're not afraid of the court records. We're not afraid of any statements, any documents. Shine light on them. Let's see them, and then we can judge whether someone's guilty or not. And I'm not afraid of anything they could have, anything they could use. But it seems they're awfully afraid of revealing it.
Yes.
I want to suggest, too, I don't know if you've tried it, but the legislative members that are looking at prison reform and criminal justice reform, you might want to have someone contact them as well and let them know the situation about your records and see if there's some way they can help you.
We could take a look at that. But early on, we did recognize that we were involved in a political situation. When I say we, talking about me and the guys from Death Row, we were all at Supermax, and we used to get to communicate a little bit with each other. And so we recognized that we got a list of our state legislators. And we tried contacting them and directly to people like Shirley Smith at the time was a big progressive activist in the state legislature. And we tried getting to her office. But again, the politics that put us in this place by the state is far larger than perhaps from Massachusetts you can imagine. But it's no easy task, and no one wants to fight that machine for us or even with us, because we're fighting for ourselves. So we don't need people to fight for us. We need people to fight with us.
Exactly. That's what it's all about, bringing people together in unity and solidarity to start looking at some of these issues and fighting for it. And WBUR is a radio show, from what I understand, that does a lot on prison issues. So you might want to somehow get in contact with WBUR. There's a certain reporter there, too. I have to get that name. But WBUR.
Are you talking about there? Is it in Columbus, Ohio? Bob Fitzdrake, does that ring a bell?
What is it?
Bob Fitzdraken.
No. No. But that's what we want to look for, the newspapers. We want to look for the radio shows, the television, anything that deals with bringing out the injustices going on in the prisons or with prisoners. Those are the media, the outlets that we want to connect with. And we want to, because a lot of times when you see articles written about some injustice going on in the prisons, you want to look at who's writing that article and you want to contact that person, whether it's a female or a male reporter. And those are the ones we want to contact, especially when we start getting in contact with the media in June.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
and
we want to look at
remember,
some of these solutions.
As we approach April 11th, that will be 30-year anniversary of this prison riot. And so you maybe perhaps you could remind your audience to pick up or Google the whole situation or something.
And
right.
I want
the whole
to
narrative
ask,
of the death squad wasn't even the truth. That was something that the prosecution came up with because it fit their story.
I want to ask you also, if you can, Greg, to spread the word to all others that are there with you to get their families to come on the show on Tuesdays. Every Tuesday at 12 o'clock Eastern Time, we've been having – no, I'm sorry – it's been changed because some people coming on have to work. So it's at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the evening that we're holding leaving the studio open for anyone that wants to call in or come on to talk about the issues or to join in this upcoming event in June. And I will say there's going to be a lot more going on in June than what we as a group of loved ones of incarcerated and advocates are going to be doing. So if you can, encourage everybody to come on Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time to get involved. As I said, we're compiling listings and everything else for people to, we'll be distributing that so everybody will have the same information of who they will be calling around the country, the telephone numbers, the emails, the addresses, and the targeting the media especially. At this time, in legislative members.
And how do I tell them to have their family find this podcast or your information?
Okay, I'm on Facebook. I'm under Leona Brando. I was under Leona Abraham Brando and got locked out. My first initial Facebook page is still there, but I can't get into it. So it's under Leona Brando, LeonaBrandao. My email address is NVO. Like a new vision organization, NVOPRES at gmail.com. So they can email
so
me.
NVOPRES
at Verizon dot, I mean at gmail.com.
Is that F or S?
S as in Sam.
Okay,
NVOPRES @gmail.com.
Okay.
One thing I'd like to point out with the riot and the defense and prosecution of it, the funds that Ohio allotted for the prosecution was astronomical. Like, there was no limit that the prosecution could use at their disposal, investigators, specialists, to come up with whatever stories they wanted to come up with, where the defense was paid a very small fee, and that's all documented as well. I don't recall the exact numbers. Greg may know, but the difference was hundreds, thousands of dollars. Where, for example, like the prosecution, just to throw numbers out, this is not the exact numbers, but the prosecution would be paid $150 an hour, and they would be paid immediately. But the defense was paid $25 an hour, and they only got paid after their case had went to court and everything was done. They didn't even get paid throughout, and they were not allotted, you know, special investigators and testing and prosecution withheld a lot of information because the defense just did not have the money or the funds or the support to get the information on the guys
and
that they were convicted.
I'm not the willpower to do it was also lacking.
Yes. Yes.
Mm. You know, with all these organizations, law firms and everything out there, you would think that they would be doing more. You notice a lot of times the same people get the help, while there's other people are out there still struggling to try to get the help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I once read a quote by Angela Davis who said, well, we know people as famous as Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and the like can get support. We know that. But what about those who have less name recognition? Or what about them and the support that they need? Because they need support no less than these famous characters in our history. So she was given a speech somewhere years ago, and I just always remember hearing her say that, and I recognized that she was connected to, she had a finger on the pulse of what was going on with the haves and the have-nots, even within our own society or within our own struggle.
You know, it bothers me. I'm looking at this ACLU, National Prison. They really do. Are you familiar with the Ohio Justice and Policy Center?
Yeah, well, so yes, that's used to be Al Gerbstein's organization, and they were, when they were started, they were fighting, they were coming into prisons asking us what was the issues, what we needed help on, and they were filing suits and everything, I just recently was on a 33-day hunger strike, and I wrote them, and I sent them all of the law, all of the prison rules, and I said they're violating these prison rules. They're violating their own policies. Can you help? Can you call the Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections and just say, hey, don't make us sue you about this. You know you're wrong. And they wouldn't do me anything. They never even responded. And before that, there's been a number of issues where they ignored or turned their back on. So, yes, I'm very familiar with them. Very, very familiar with them. And it's a shame because Al Gerstein, he even put prisoners on his board so when they was deciding which cases to take, he even put ex-prisoners on there, and I knew one of the guys. And I know he believed in this, in fighting against this system, and specifically against the prison system. And all of that has went away. All of that goodwill, I don't know what they do at that Ohio Justice and Policy Center now, but they don't do it on behalf of prisoners.
Okay.
And see, I believe places like that should be called out. Just as I said earlier to you and to your audience, that I believe that when people out there decide that they want to give their time and energy and sometimes their money to help prisoners, I think that they should have requirements. And those requirements should at very least include prisoners helping prisoners. Show me how you're helping other prisoners. Show me how you're helping your co-defendants. If you're in a different gang than another gang, but y'all have the same issue, show me how you cross that line. What sacrifice have you made to make your prison life better if you're asking me to take my time and energy to help make your prison life better or to help shut the prison system down altogether? Show me what you're doing inside to help shut the prison system down altogether. So I think those requirements have to start being made. Too often people will just say, yeah, I'm going to help y'all out in there, and will latch on to a character or a characteristic that they like or feel comfortable with without asking that person, what sacrifices are you making?
I agree. I agree. And just like with you, what you just said about calling out these organizations, these agencies, ACLU in Ohio, the advocacy work they claim on their website is death penalty, drug policy, juvenile justice policy practice, and prisoners' rights. If you're going to say you advocate for prisoners' rights, and these are the things that they say to ensure that they get medical treatment supported through rehabilitation, educational program, and treated humanely, these things are not happening. So where is ACLU? All of a sudden they're saying they can't do it. Why put it on? If they don't, if they can't help everybody, or if they are at their max, then put something on their website to say we are no longer taking cases. And this is what a lot of these organizations are not doing, because they're picking and choosing. They need to be called out. And I call them out. And I'll tell you, we may not be liked because of it, but we're talking truth.
My ACLU story is this. In fact, this very call to your podcast was illegal just a few years ago. Before I left the Supermax, me and the guys on death row with Noel Hanahan and a couple other media outlets, San Francisco Bayview, filed suit because BRC would not allow us from the prison riot to do interviews and speak about the prison riot. We would go to the hall. We would lose our phone privileges, and we filed suit on that. And ACLU was there in the beginning, and they changed leadership from one person to another. And that person, as soon as they came in, said, well, I'm the president of the Cleveland chapter now, and we're going in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'd like to add, too, with calling out organizations, the Innocence Project is an amazing organization. However, they, too, pick and choose. They will only take cases that they know they can walk somebody out of prison. They
right,
don't.
Right. So they decided, she decided, I think her name was Miss Frida Pinto, Attorney Frida Pinto, I believe was her name, ACLU in Cleveland. And she just stepped right into that position and said, well, we're going to settle this lawsuit or drop it, one or the other. And so we ended up telling her she could, her and the ACLU could move on. We would do this without them. And that's what we did. And we didn't totally win, but we won enough that I could do an interview and talk about that riot situation without fear that in the next 15 minutes somebody's going to come and put me in the hole for talking about the riot situation, about my life in the riot situation. And that was no thanks to the ACLU. She came in and she quit at the head of Cleveland ACLU. She quit on us to have a voice to get our word out about the treatment that we have endured in prison. And if the ACLU is not about that, then what could they be about?
You know, there's a lot of lawyers on the outside, too, that are working two sides. They work with and against the DOC. And I've seen this happen before. I've seen it happen. It's personally happened. And I'll tell you, they need to be called out. They really do. These people need to be exposed.
That you continue with that effort, and I hope that you allow us back on. I do a lot of reading and a lot of studying. So most of the social issues, social economic issues, I'm up on and aware of, and I'm very passionate about. And I would enjoy talking to your audience and you about them at any time that you're available.
I really appreciate your coming on. As I said, it's a blessing because there's been other prisoners that have even BLM. In California, there's been others that have come on to talk about the injustices and things that are going on in their situations. And we need to bring that out more often because we need to give the prisoners a voice. We need to give the incarcerated individuals a voice. If the media is going to be reporting, they should be getting two sides, not reporting one side, because this is where all the biases come in. When people are only hearing one-sided stories. So I welcome you back anytime at all. Anyone else you know of that wants to come on, so please come on to be the voice, because that's what this show is all about. And encourage your family and friends and advocates to do the same, to come on even if you are unable to. What's happening right now is everybody talks about the problem, But there's a lot of family members on Facebook that are talking, and they're not doing any action. They don't have to do anything to pick up a phone and call in. And there's too many people incarcerated whose families have gone in the other direction. And they have had to make new family, and the new family are those out there fighting for all of them. And these people have got to know if they care about their loved ones, they need to get involved. It's not costing them money to come on a show. It's not costing them money to make phone calls, email, write letters, or whatever. And they have to be more vigilant about all of this and come on, unite. So I thank you, Greg, for coming on.
I have the contact information, the Facebook, and they can listen to the past shows on your Facebook.
Yes. They can.
And Leona is L-E-O-N-E-A.
L-E-O-N-N-A.
N-N-A, okay. Yeah, well, I'm going to pass the word on for sure. Tuesday night at 6:30 Eastern time. I'm going to pass the word on, and I must get out of here. I have to go to work. And
okay.
I appreciate you greatly, for real. I do.
Thank you.
Greg, real quickly, I want to thank you again for coming on. It's people like you, people behind those prison walls like you, that make it possible for us to get information, to get the bring awareness, and to be able to try to get the help. And audience, again, Tuesdays, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, please call in. We need to come together, especially before June. There's much preparations to be made. Greg, thank you for coming on again. Tell all of your fellow prisoners we send our love and support. And Samantha, thank you so much for bringing Greg on with us. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Leona. Thank you very
Greg,
much.
Thanks.
You stay strong.
Bye-bye.
You stay strong, Greg.
All right. Yes, I will.
Okay,
thanks,
thank
Leona.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Samantha. Bye-bye. So, audience,
bye.
We're going to be closing pretty soon now, and I just want to let you know it's not often that people are going to be brave enough to take that risk and to come on and to share their stories. You know, you've heard, you've been listening in, and you can listen in any time. You don't have to listen in today. You can listen in any time because it's going all over Facebook, all in your groups and everything. Just click on and listen and know that these people need help. A lot of them are not getting the help that they need. A lot of people that are in power or are unable to help through their own legal means are not doing it. They pick and choose. They're more for their own organizations rather than for those that are crying for help. So please join us as we go Tuesday. Please join us on Tuesday evening, Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light, Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. If you have a loved one incarcerated, if you know someone that's incarcerated, if you've been incarcerated, please join us. We have much preparation to do for the month of June 2023, and there's going to be so much going on that you might want to hear about. So thank you for joining us, and we are now going to end this.